On behalf of Weinberg Information Services, welcome to Stock Options in an Increasing Rate Environment, including Incentive Stock Options, Part 2. I'm Bob Keebler. Incentive stock options are quite a bit more complicated than non-qualified options from a tax perspective. And you have to first meet the statutory requirements under Section 422 of the code. Now, when you're dealing, mostly incentive stock options are issued by very sophisticated companies. They have smart advisors designing and implementing these plans. This will typically not be a problem. What you have to understand from the advisor's perspective is the fair market value of the stock with respect to which the options are exercisable for the first time does not exceed $100,000 during any taxable year. The options must be exercised within 10 years after they are granted. The options are exercisable only by the employee during his or her lifetime. There's usually a three-month rule. There's a three-month rule after someone dies where they have to exercise these options. So you're going to have to take all this into account, not only in their financial plan while they're alive, but in their estate plan if they were to die. And if somebody does die, you want to make sure you quickly move on that three-month rule, because you want to take advantage of the incentive nature of these options. Now, the employee must be employed by the issuing corporation at all times from the option grant date until 3 months after the date of exercise. The stock acquired under the option must be held for at least 2 years after the time at which it is granted and 1 year after it is exercised if you're going to get incentive stock treatment. Now, this would be rare for you to see, but if an option is granted to a 10% or greater shareholder, there's a special 110% rule. The employer's shareholders must approve the plan within 12 months before or after the board of directors adopts the plan, and the option is granted within 10 years of the plan's adoption by the board or, if earlier, the date at which is approved by the shareholders. Now, you could also do a cashless exercise just with the non-qualified stock options. The exercise of an ISO with a stock swap will not trigger ordinary income, but potentially can trigger AMT for the difference between the strike price and the fair market value of the stock. We'll talk about that in just a moment. When you do a cashless exercise, the basis of the holding period for the shares surrendered, tacked to the same number of shares acquired in the swap. However, the holding period for the old shares does not tack for purposes of the special holding period requirements of the ISO stock. You'll see why that's important. Now, one of the problems we run into is AMT and a disqualified disposition. Remember, under the law, if my strike price is at $1 a share and the stock is trading at $100 a share, when I exercise an ISO, I'm going to have $100 of AMT income, but I'm not going to have any ordinary income. This is good. But that AMT income, potentially I'm going to have to pay AMT tax on that. Now, some states will also have their own version of the AMT, which you're going to have to work with and plan for. Now, if you acquire stock through the exercise of an ISO and that stock is disposed of before 1 year has lapsed from the exercise date or 2 years from the issue date of the options, the sale is going to be subject to a certain recapture rule. Oftentimes, this is called a disqualifying disposition. And your normal AMT income is going to be changed into ordinary income. And the ordinary income, just like wage income, okay? And ordinary income is going to be recognized on the difference between the exercise price and the fair market value on the date of exercise. In addition, there's going to be short-term or long-term capital gain on the difference between the fair market value at the date of exercise, time of exercise, and the sale price. Now, let's just again say the strike price was $10 a share, 10 bucks a share. The fair market value at exercise was $30 a share. So you're going to have $20 of AMT income on the day you exercise those ISOs. Later you sell at $50 a share. That last part is going to be the last part from your $10 a share to your $50 share, that $40 of gain is going to be regular capital gain for tax purposes, and the difference between the $30 a share and the $50 a share will be AMT capital gain. Now, the problem is, up front, you're recognizing all this AMT income. And what we generally do is we try to time ISO recognition along with the ISOs has to bring a person out of the AMT. We want to minimize the AMT because the AMT is going to be imposed at 28%. Later when we sell, we're going to receive a credit for that, but we're the sale price, that profit is only going to be subject to the AMT capital gain rate at 15%. There's an arbitrage, if you will, of 13 cents, which is going to be hard to recover. Okay, so when you run these numbers, you'll see what I mean, but you want to watch out for that. That's why many times we're going to be recognizing NSOs at the same time we're exercising ISOs so that we can minimize AMT on the front end. Now, for somebody that's earning a lot of money and they have a very large normal income and then they exercise NSOs at the same time, this is not a problem. But for some executives, especially middle managers who are near retirement and they get caught in the AMT at retirement, this can be a tremendous problem because they may never receive full credit for the AMT they pay up front. When you're looking at how to exercise options, a lot of this is driven by taxes, but a lot of this is often driven more by finance than by tax. So the financial expert and the tax expert are going to have to work together. And they're going to have to look at, from a finance perspective, the opinions of experts on the prospects for the company, historical returns of the company. Sometimes you'll look at fundamental analysis, things like price-earnings ratio, price-to-sales ratio, all those normal fundamentals. But most of these companies are very efficient, at least if they're traded on the New York Stock Exchange and sometimes even the NASDAQ. They're going to be very efficient. They may well be priced fairly. What people believe the technical prospects for the stock are, you're going to want to really lean on your expert investment counsel for your client. If you're the CPA, you don't want to do this alone. You need to bring in that financial expert to bring that perspective. And you really want to set inputs when you're modeling this. Look at modeling this under different scenarios. There's a lot to think about. Again, this is probably, this part of it, exactly when to exercise, is probably 70% finance and 30% tax. So once you figure that out, you're going to then have to blend how many NSOs do I exercise to mitigate the AMT on the ISOs I'm exercising. And when you run the numbers, you'll begin to understand that. On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler, and thank you for joining us today.